here at Growing Together Ministry. We're glad to have you with us today. I'm Pastor Larry Lilly, the associate pastor here at Growing Together Ministry. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this day, God, to be here to discuss the Word of God here in the book of Acts. We're going verse by verse. And God, we just pray that you give us the words of wisdom and knowledge to speak to your people today. In Jesus' name, I pray. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 13, beginning with verse 50. And the word says, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast." Anytime that you teach Jesus, there's going to be people that's going to rise up against you. These Jews who opposed the gospel, who opposed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the religious leaders, if you will, they begin to cause a stir, if you will. And you, I'm sure, in your ministry and over in years of times, there's a stir came in a particular church or this, that, and the other. I'm not going to call his name, but many years ago, I heard a TV minister make this comment that he went to a church, a big church, paid parking lot, everything. Anyway, a nice church, to minister, and there was a stir going on in the church. There was a rifle in the church, if you will, rippling going on. Whoever picked him up from the airport, they got to the church. There was two people carrying a pew across the parking lot, arguing over a pew, taking things out of the church, a ripple, if you will. The enemy will cause a stir in your church, my church, or anybody's church. And anytime I use the word my, I'm including the overseer, Pastor David Ray, and also another pastors here in the church, Jerry Hardy. But what I'm saying is, the enemy wants a stir, if you will, to be in your church to cause disruption from the Word of God. And here these Jews begin to be, as the Word says, in the women. It can also happen in men as well, but here it happens to be in the women, stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief priests of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. I know there are times in our walk with God that things go smooth, but most of the time there's going to be persecution against men and women of God who stands firmly on the Word of God and refuses to back down to what the Word of God says. Paul was teaching the Word of God. And because he was teaching the Word of God in this Christ, the church was young. The church wasn't very old at this particular time. It was upsetting the Jews, the Sadducees. They didn't like what was happening, what was going on. And here we find they were causing a stir, trying to stop it. I don't care what type of persecution comes against the church. The enemy cannot step out or stomp out the fire of God. The fire of God can continue to burn inside of you regardless of the persecution that comes your way.
Amen.
And they were teaching the Word of God here. The enemy was trying to stop it. And what goes on in this verse here? "And expelled them out of their coast." They were requested to leave the area because of teaching the Word of God, but forcibly ejected them. There's no evidence here in the Word of the physical violence, but there was definitely evidence that physical violence was threatened if they didn't leave. So not only did they leave, They had to leave because of their own safety, if you will. That's sad. That's sad. And it goes on in the world today, unfortunately. The same thing of teaching the Word of God. It goes on and says, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them. They shook the dust off of their feet against them. The Gospels mentioned about us shaking the dust off our feet if they won't receive you. If God sends you or I to someone to minister to them, to share the Word of God with them, and they refuse to accept or receive what we're saying, we don't need to stay there and continue to waste our time. It's not saying we won't continue to pray for them in our private prayers, pray that God touch that person, touch that lady, touch that man, if you will. But we don't have time to waste our time on people that's refusing to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our Lord is coming back soon, and we need to be about our Father's business. So they shook the dust off their feet against them and came into Iconium. Verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Let's stop here. When you're facing persecution, are you filled with joy? Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes we're not. But they were filled with joy because of the persecution that came against them in Antioch. The Holy Spirit informed them that the problem in Antioch was not their fault. They were doing what they were supposed to do. Paul and Silas was beaten because of touching a woman that was a fortune teller. They got healed, amen, and delivered. And they were beaten and placed in the prison, if you will. But what did they do at midnight? They sang praises to God. They were joyful. Would I be joyful if we had blood, if you will, running down our backs where we'd been beaten? And we were placed inside of the prison where it was stinky, it was smelly, it was clammy, it was cold, it was wet. Would we be moaning and groaning, I was doing the right thing, look where I am? Or would we be praising God? Paul and Silas praising God got God's attention and set them free. And here we see They were filled with joy because they were worthy to receive what they received because they were doing what God had called them to do. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It means that the Spirit of God was the author of this joy. Amen. Verse chapter 14, Iconium. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together, Paul and Barnabas, from the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. After all the persecution, they come to another city. They leave because of their own safety, if you will. They were threatened. If you don't leave, we're probably going to beat you up or whatever. But they left. And here they go to another city. And these people were there ready to receive the Word of God. Many of them accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord. The Bible says that a great multitude. What's a multitude? More than two or three. I believe more than a dozen or two. A multitude. Both of the Jews and also the Greeks believed, accepted Jesus, amen. You know, persecution is there, if you will, to stop you doing what God's called you to do. In my life, in our lives, persecution is going to come my way. Let's accept it. We'd rather not have it. Our flesh rather not have persecution to come against us. But it will come against us with speaking the truth and doing the word of God. But after the persecution comes the joy. Amen. After the persecution, amen, you see the results of the people being saved. Listen, I had an opportunity to go to Nigeria 4 years ago this month. And I went right in the very beginning of the pandemic. After I got there, I realized I had no flight back home. Everything had been canceled. The flesh wanted to kick in. I should have stayed home. I shouldn't have changed my flight and come when I did, because my flight to Nigeria had been canceled because of the pandemic. But I called the airlines and moved it up one day because there was a flight going out on that Sunday afternoon. And so now my flesh was kicking in. And my flesh was saying, you should have stayed home. Now you don't know. And I didn't know when I was going to come back home. And it was very hot over there. Most of the time there was no air conditioning. And so if I say hot, it was 100 degrees over there. And here in America, we're used to the air conditioning, the comforts that we have here in America. In most places in Nigeria, they don't have that comfort. Some places do, but where I was, that comfort wasn't there. So physically, I was suffering, if you will, and things of that nature. But thousands of people got saved in the two crusades that I was involved in, amen. Not only was I, there was other ministers on the platform involved in their services, but thousands of people came to the Lord. That was the joy. In the middle of a pandemic, we'd have several thousand would come out to the services, worshiping God 4 to 6 hours every night. And they said the crowds was down because of the pandemic. The people were hungry for God. They wanted God, amen. How hungry are you for God? Paul and Barnabas here was very hungry to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell the good news about him. And the people, amen, God will send you to the people that are hungry for more of God. He'll send you to the right place, people that you need to go to spread this gospel of Jesus. And this is what was happening here. The Bible says multitudes came and accepted the Lord in verse 1 of chapter 14. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Here it is again. God blesses persecution. After persecution, God blesses. Guess what? Persecution. Amen. So we should not, as children of God, should not be surprised when we face persecution. Now, we may be surprised who it comes through, who brings the persecution. It may be a family member. It may be someone that we're close to. But we should not be surprised that persecution comes our way, because it's constantly, consistently, all the way through the Word of God. Look what David had to do after he had killed Goliath. He had to run and hide himself from Saul, because Saul was out to kill him. Because David had already in a private ceremony, already been anointed to be the king of Israel. He hadn't been placed in that position yet, but he had already been anointed in a private ceremony to be king of Israel. And Saul was after to kill him because of jealousy. These Jews here, who did not believe in Christ, did not believe in God, was causing chaos, trying to cause chaos against Paul and Barnabas. And they're going to try to do the same thing against you and I. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews, as I just read earlier, stirred up the Gentiles and their minds evil, affecting their brother. Verse 3, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. That's the key. You got to speak boldly in the Lord. Do not back down from what you believe in the Word of God. Don't allow someone to try to get you to compromise what the Word of God says. They spoke boldly, if you will, the Word says. which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. The note said that the unbelieving Gentiles who were stirred up by the unbelieving Jews did not have immediate sway, as these Gentiles in the previous cities that Paul and Barnabas were able to minister there for some weeks. It's the latter part of that verse I just read, which says, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So even though the persecution was there, and even though there was Jews trying to stir up that did not believe this word of God, God was still working signs and miracles among Paul and Barnabas. So even though persecution may come against you and I and try to cause us to become distracted from the mission that God has put us on, just like in 2020 in Nigeria, the pandemic was trying to distract me from what God has sent me there to do. Instead of being like a 10 or 12 day trip, it turned out to be a 53 day trip because of the pandemic. But God assured me, amen, even though our flesh will fight against us, your flesh will fight against you. The enemy tried to convince me that I'll come back home in a body bag while I was there. The enemy tried this, but guess what? On May 8th of 2024, I arrived at my home safely without the pandemic, if you will, from Nigeria. But God's mission was accomplished while I was there. When God sends you on a mission, he will allow your mission to be completed to do what God has sent you out to do. When I say send you out, it may be your next door neighbor's house. It may be the next town over. It may be across the world or wherever. But God will send you. God will prepare you and send you to do what God has called you to do. This grace speaks of God's unmerited favor and granted signs and wonders to be done, healings, miracles, and deliverances. Verse 4, for the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. In this small town that we live in Lewiston, Woodville, population of a little over 400 people, around 400 people, everybody's not in agreement. Everybody don't agree with growing together ministry, and that's fine. We understand that, amen. And we do our best to help the community here at Growing Together Ministry. Every other week we give out produce. As many as 80 vehicles show up on a Tuesday afternoon to get produce that we give out. They don't have to be a member of this church. They don't have to attend this church, amen. They may never come to this church, but we reach out to the community, whether they believe in our doctrine, which is the word of God, or not. We give out the produce every other week. That we don't have produce, we give out food boxes. Free. It's free. There's no conditions attached to it. Amen. What we do and what you do for the kingdom of God should be no strings attached to it. Amen. We do it out of love of God, for God so loved us, and therefore we should love you as well, just as much as God loved us. So part of the city was divided, and part of the city believed what Paul and the apostles do. Verse 5, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. Uh-oh, now they want to kill them. They want to stone them. They want to hurt them. What's the old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words do hurt us. The wrong word said in the wrong way, and the wrong word said, they do hurt us. And so we find here they wanted to stone them. A few years ago, I was burning some Christmas paper after Christmas in the ditch at my house. And of course, it's in the wintertime, and the grass had turned brown. And that, as I, the wind picked up after I started burning this paper. It eventually caught the grass on fire. And I was running back and forth up the ditch bank trying to get the fire out. And it was getting ahead of me. I could not get the fire out. We called the fire department, but by the time they got there, I had it under control. I had it out. Amen. I stopped out there stomping with my feet, beating it with a rake, doing everything I could to get that fire out. And eventually I got the fire out. Well, that's what these Jews was doing. And these people that did not believe what Paul had brought, they were trying to stomp the fire out. But guess what? You can't stop. You critics that are watching or maybe watching and listening, you cannot put the fire of God out in a true man or woman of God. Because the fire, amen, you stomp it, they try to put it out, guess what? God sent them to another city. And here they come to Iconium, amen, multitudes get saved, signs and wonders begin to take place, people begin to get healed, people begin to get delivered, amen. You won't put the fire out, amen. It may spread to another location, and you may go to that location like we see here was happening, but it did not stop God's word from going out here. So now they go to another city, Lystra, verse 6. And they were made aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the region that lies round about. This doesn't mean that Paul and Barnabas were afraid, but that these were the instructions of the Lord, amen. God will lead you and direct you. The key is you've got to be able to hear God and obey what God tells you to do. When I say God, I'm talking about the Spirit that works inside of you. The Holy Spirit, amen. If you're saved, amen, the Holy Spirit dwells within inside of you, amen. And when the Spirit speaks, you've got to move on what the Spirit is telling you to do, praise God. There was a dynamic man in Martin County. He's with the Lord today. He didn't go to church very often, very little. He believed in God. And his wife died some years ago. She was a faithful attender of the church. I believe she's in heaven today. But this other individual, he was in his late 80s, amen. And someone that was a distant kin to this individual, one night God told him to go to this man's house and talk to him. And this was he had his own business. This man couldn't read and write, but he was a smart man. He had his own heavy equipment business. But this other individual went to this man's house and talked to him, and he was right. He led this man to Jesus Christ, amen. And within a month later, the man went to a church and got baptized in a church. It's in the wintertime, in a church's baptismal pool, got baptized, amen. And this man died not too many weeks or months after that, and went to heaven, praise God. But this man was led by the Spirit, amen, someone that was distant kin to this man, to go talk to him about the Lord, amen. And he was reluctant about going because that man over the years, many people, I've even talked over the years to this individual about God, accepting the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul and Barnabas was led to the other city, not because so much being afraid, but because the Spirit was leading them here to Lystra. And so now they get down to Lystra, and verse 7 says, and there they preach the gospel. Preaching is the method chosen by God to reach people. In verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, and being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. So Paul was preaching, not in the church, in the town square. He was preaching out on the street. Here it presents Paul being drawn to this man by the Holy Spirit. Listen, drawn by the Holy Spirit because the man apparently believed what he heard Paul saying about Christ. Evidently, Paul referred to Christ and his message not only as the Savior, but also the healer. And that's true. Christ is not only a Savior, first and foremost, that you get saved and go to heaven, but it's also a healer. Healer of your physical body, a healer of your mind, a healer of any part of your life that you need, a healing of your finances. He is a healer, praise God. And this man, amen, and Paul was led by the Spirit, not his own will, to this man who had been crippled from the womb of his mother, whereas he never walked a day in his life. Not one step. Verse 10. He said with a loud voice, this is Paul speaking to the man that was crippled. Stand upright on your feet. And he leaped up and walked. He was immediately healed. A man, grown man, had never walked a day in his life. Never stood on his feet a day in his life. The Bible says he immediately got up and walked. Immediately. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. I don't have time to tell you in the next 10 videos how many times God has healed me in my life over the years. Amen. Healed me. I know he healed me. And ain't no doubt, one time I know I was dying. God healed me. Another time I was dying. God healed me. Amen. He can heal you. When I had COVID, God healed me, praise God. After several years after coming back from Nigeria, I got COVID, amen, in the hospital. Guess what? I'm here, praise God. COVID pneumonia, amen. God is the healer. Whatever. Amen. I'm sure there was doubters there were saying, this can't happen. But it did. We're going to have to stop here at this verse and come back next week to discuss this in verse 11. This is Growing Together Ministry in Lewiston, Woodville, North Carolina. We're so happy to have you. Amen. We're here every week. If you will, you that are watching this week's broadcast, how about study the scriptures for next week? But also, you'll be watching this. Also, this is Palm Sunday this week. We're coming up. Think about what Jesus did for you, about how he died for you. Amen. And we love you, and God loves you, and we look forward to seeing you next week at this table Bible talk with Pastor Larry Lilly. God bless.